Homeowners now have an average of nearly $300,000 in home equity, and the nationwide total is a staggering $16 trillion. Hi, I'm Rob West. Home equity is undoubtedly one of our largest assets. So how do the biblical principles of stewardship apply to it? Harland Akala joins us today to discuss this, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that Harland Akala is one of our more interesting guests on the program. Harland's with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. He's a fellow brother in Christ and a reverse mortgage expert. And yes, those two things can go together. Harland, great to have you back with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Rob.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into our topic today, the stewardship of home equity, we should probably explain the joke I just made. Harland, explain how today's reverse mortgages are not the same product that gave the name such a negative reputation in the past.
Well, yes, Rob, the very thing that was done in 1988 during Reagan's term to fix the things that are bad about reverse mortgages and people losing their houses and widows having to move out after their husbands died, those things have been fixed over the years, and yet it still has the reputation of the foregoing products and the abuses of the product that were done by unscrupulous characters and loan officers that were obviously not taking care of clients and were concerned about lining their own pockets. And so now because of those things that were taken care of, in fact, somebody said the other day, well, isn't that a scam? And I said, well, it's a federally regulated scam if it is. So there is certainly so many things that have been put in place. And from a biblical perspective, in the way that I give advice to my clients, when you take a look at the borrower being the servant to the lender, those things have been mitigated to the point that I have a reverse mortgage and I'm not a servant to the lender because I do not have to make payments ever, even if I live into my hundreds, and the same thing for my wife as well. So in all of those tests, the safeguards and the guardrails have been put in place that it is something that can be used carefully like any other financial product.
Yeah, that's well said. I appreciate that. By the way, folks, for this first portion of the broadcast, we'll be taking your questions specifically on reverse mortgages. What are they? How can they apply in your situation? Any questions that you have on these products, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000 while we have Harland with us. And then we'll turn the corner a little later in the broadcast to any financial topic. By the way, let me just say that, you know, you hear me talk on this program a lot about this idea of the borrower being the servant to the lender. Harland just mentioned that. And we love the idea of getting out of debt so you have freedom to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are, though, tools we need to consider as we think about the stewardship of the assets that God has entrusted to us. And I think that includes our home equity. So if you have a conviction to be debt-free and get out of debt completely, including your home as you enter retirement, great. We talk about that all the time. But there are a segment of folks that either don't want to use the assets that they have, it makes more sense to tap into home equity, or they're crunched during this season of life. They're ill-prepared, they haven't saved enough, and their largest asset could represent an income stream to them, or at the very least, a line of credit that, as Harland said, doesn't require a monthly payment and doesn't require you to personally guarantee it. It's only collateralized by your home, and I think that's the difference and often the misunderstanding. Let's talk about stewardship for a second before our first break here, Harland. Give us an idea of how home equity represents God's providence in your view.
Well, never in history has there been this much gifting, so to speak, by the economy of housing into just us normal people's lives. In fact, if you bought a house in 2019 for $400,000, which is a lot more in some areas than the average and a lot less in others, you would have gained about $100,000 in that 4 or 5 year period. That's more than most people gained in their 401ks or their IRAs or any of their retirement funds or their savings accounts. This is something that if you received an inheritance of $100,000, you'd prayerfully be concerned about what should I do with this gift that I've been given for just making my house payments, just living here. And people that had more expensive houses obviously dealt with a whole lot more. And never in history has there been $12 trillion in one asset class. We should take a look at that and say, what should we do with that?
That's great advice. Well, Harlan's here to answer your questions. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts, plus your questions just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When the month of June hits, parents and children alike look forward to switching things up. Gone are the long days at school. Now it's time to be outside. Get some exercise. Go to the beach if you can. Relaxation and refreshment are good, but so is work. Proverbs 30:25 speaks to this with an analogy. It says, "Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer." So even in the smallest of his creatures, God has placed a work ethic, in part to remind us that we were made in his image, and likewise we work and we rest, and we do it all to his glory, even in the summer. Get more daily encouragement with time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. My guest today, Harlan Akala, my good friend with Reverse Mortgage. He's a reverse mortgage expert. He's with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. By the way, we're taking in this first segment of the broadcast your questions specifically on reverse mortgages. If there's something you'd like to know, perhaps how it could work as a planning tool in your situation, we've got lines open. Harlan's ready to take those calls, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Harlan, we started today by talking about stewardship. We talk about that as a big theme after lordship and surrendering everything to the lordship of Christ, including that which he's entrusted to us. There's this idea of stewardship, that we're stewards over what God has entrusted to us. That includes our assets, God's provision. And I would say as it relates to our home, you know, our heart is very connected to our possessions, and that includes our home. Talk about how we can think about this in light of a biblical view.
Well, it's something that I had to wrestle with myself, because I sometimes, especially being in the housing industry, had kind of a tinge of pride of how much money I was gaining in the house and seeing what the values were going for in my neighborhood and how much equity I had built and so on. And of course, I dealt with a lot of people that are dealing with those same emotions. which is no different really than seeing your stock price go up, or what should I do with my increase in my salary or whatever. And the fact is that some people look at it very differently when it comes to their house and feels that that's something that should be buried in the ground and that they should keep that. But it's something that is both a blessing and a burden. What should we do with all of this value that has increased? Well, what most people do by default is just say, well, I'm going to give it to my kids when I die. Almost everyone says that. But the fact is, the vast majority of homes are never lived in by their children. They're given away and sold as soon as the parents pass away. So we have to think about, should we do a living inheritance? And that's one of the things that I'm very proactive about with my clients and myself personally is, what should I do with my home equity now as far as giving is concerned, as far as helping my children and my grandchildren while I'm alive and kind of giving a living inheritance? And that's a very different way of looking at things. And sometimes it's hard to do it that way, but it certainly makes more sense because I don't want my kids to just get a big windfall when I pass.
Yeah.
I want to be in control of what they're doing with some of the things that I leave behind and make sure that it's being used for godly purposes that I can teach them through not only what I would leave them in a life insurance policy or a savings account, but what I would leave them in the value of my home.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think, you know, that's often the missed opportunity that folks don't realize they have, whether that's, as you said, leaning into additional giving opportunities, just being able to bless the kids now. But also, Harlan, for those that are really squeezed in this season of life, it really could be a game changer in terms of just having needed cash flow to balance the budget. Talk about that piece of it.
Yes, there's probably about half of our clients that don't need a reverse mortgage, and they're simply doing it to increase their giving, help their children and grandchildren, is what I was just mentioning. But there's a good half of the population and about half of our clients that are either going to have to dramatically cut back on their lifestyle, which also means, quite frankly, cutting back on their giving. They can't be as generous when they just have to spend most of their Social Security check paying for the utilities and their food.
Yeah.
And so certainly it is something that it's a resource that's right there. I was talking to someone and they said, we just don't know how we're going to be able to afford putting on a new roof. And I said, there's about $100,000 in your dining room table that's right behind you in the Zoom call that and the screen that I was looking at. And they turned around and looked at it and said, no, there's not $100,000 on our dining room table. And I said, well, I'm saying that figuratively, but it's right there. That will solve the problem for fixing your roof.
Yeah.
And it's just something that's completely disregarded as part of our wealth because it's not a statement that we get in the mail like our savings account or our retirement account. And so it can release so much of a burden that bothers people so much. And they almost everyone that we work with in the Christian group of people that are our clients end up being more generous, more giving, and living a lot more of a stress-free life at the same time.
Yeah, and the big difference between a reverse mortgage and a conventional is, first, no payment. Second, you're not personally guaranteeing the loan. The FHA is doing that. Let's head to the phones. Jennifer in Texas, go ahead with your question for Harlan.
Yes. We bought a house, and it was owner financed. And my question is, and it's paid off. It's been paid off for a good while. And it was a fixer-upper. Well, we do not have the money to fix her up. So I don't understand that reverse mortgage. Since I don't pay on my house, can I still get that reverse mortgage to fix the house up? Or how does that work?
Go ahead, Harlan.
Sure, Jennifer. There's two ways that a reverse mortgage works. One is to pay off an existing mortgage to eliminate a payment. That's not you. You already have your house paid off. Then the other scenario is setting up a line of credit or monthly checks in the case where you want to do the fixing up, doing the fixer-upper part of it. Then we will give you the money from your house, 30 to 50% typically of the value that you can use to put into the house, which will probably increase the value, of course. But it isn't something that you have to pay back during your lifetime. And you simply have that money to use that the dollars from your equity to fix up the house. Then at the end, there's less equity because even the value, even though the value of your house went up, now there's a mortgage that's paid off. So whoever you leave it behind to, they get a little bit less, but you've increased the value of your house and you got the money without having to worry about changing the amount of money that you have to pay back and changing your monthly cash flow. So yeah. Two different ways to be able to fix that problem that you have of having the money for the repairs.
Yeah.
Very common use.
Yeah, it makes sense. And Jennifer, so the idea here is either way you can tap into the home equity to do the fixing upping, if you will, but you can do it with a mortgage payment where you're systematically paying it back over a scheduled period of time, 10 or 15 years or longer, or through a reverse mortgage, you don't have that monthly payment. And often for those in a retirement season of life, that's a game changer for them. And that balance that you borrow through that line of credit to do the renovations just grows over time with interest and is paid off when you sell it or at death. So you just have to decide which is the better fit. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I just go to a bank to do this, or where would
yeah,
I go?
Well, you know, what I would say is that, you know, I don't like just taking one off the television for the reason Arlen mentioned. There's a lot of folks that are less than scrupulous in this space. So what I would do is probably check out movement.com/faith, or if you want to hang on the line, we can have somebody reach out to you. But in either case, you need some trusted counsel for somebody that can walk you through this to decide, is this the right fit? It's not a one size fits all for everybody. It may or may not be the best solution, but if it is, I want you to be with a trusted partner. So if you're comfortable on the web, go to movement.com/faith. Otherwise, stay on the line. Our team will get your information. We'll get somebody in touch with you. Thank you for your call today, Jennifer. May the Lord bless you. Harland Akala with us today, taking your calls on reverse mortgages. And then in just a little bit, we'll expand to really any financial topic and take your questions today. Folks, here's our goal on this program each day: to encourage you, to help you look at finances through the lens of Scripture, a biblical worldview, ultimately holding it loosely, making God your ultimate treasure. I'm Rob West. A quick break and back with much more after this. Stay with us.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543.
extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With us today, Harlan Akala. We're talking reverse mortgages. How can you think about stewardship of your home equity in addition to the rest of the assets you've been entrusted? That's what Harlan is discussing today, as well as answering your questions on reverse mortgages. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go right back to the phones to Virginia. Hi, Dave. How can we help?
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I bought the house 20 years ago, and the statement says, I think it says, I'm driving, so I don't know, $245,000 left, I think, you know, that I owe. And so it takes up quite a bit of my monthly income, and so I wanted to see if and I'm behind on it. Every month I'm like a month and a half behind on the payment, so I'm always having to talk to them and tell them eventually I'll catch up. But so could reverse mortgage be a solution to me?
Harlan, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. We'd have to take a look at your value. The answer is probably, but certainly I can't give full advice without asking a few more questions. There's no doubt that the sooner that you do a reverse mortgage before you get behind on your payments, the better, although we've done reverse mortgages for people that are in foreclosure. In a very have went a long ways down the road, much worse situation than being a month behind. So it's something that we should take a look at. But you'd fall into the category the previous caller had the house paid off, and she would use the money to remodel the house or for continuing their lifestyle. You'd be in a situation that we'd eliminate the payment and get it to be optional instead, because it is the biggest payment that you probably have every month and the one that is creating the most problems. And so what you should do is check into movement.com/faith and say, hey, how would this work and how does that fit in to see whether or not that would be a solution to make things much easier for your cash flow. There's so many people that are making payments that don't need to make payments. And that's the big thing that we're striving to help people understand, is that from 20 to 62, you have to make payments, but from 62 to 90 or 100, you don't have to make payments when you've built that equity over the years. It's just like you don't continue to make payments to your retirement account. So yeah, That's certainly something that we could check into for you, Dave, and see if we could help.
Very good. Dave, thanks for your call. Movement.com/faith would be the place to go, and you could connect with somebody that can just look at your situation and help you determine whether this is the right fit for you. Harlan, we've got just a few minutes left, and then we're going to be turning the corner to address other topics on biblical finance. But what are some of those misconceptions? For instance, one of them I know is that with a reverse mortgage at your death, while your spouse is living, your spouse is going to be forced to move out. Address that.
Yeah, that is the thing that caused me not to like reverse mortgages 20 years ago before I understood them. And that is that somebody said, well, it just doesn't end well. And I just agreed with them and said, yeah, it might be great for the short term, but it's a bad thing in the long term. The fact is that my wife is protected. If I pass away tomorrow, she is able to stay in the house for as long as she lives or as long as she wants to. The same thing applies. My children will never owe the bill. As you already mentioned, Rob, this is a non-recourse loan. And so even if I owe more than what it's worth at the end, I don't owe it. My children don't owe it. My estate doesn't owe it. So my wife is guaranteed to stay here if I pass early, as long as she can afford to pay the taxes and insurance, which is a small part of the equation. And when she passes away, my children will not be liable for the bill. Quite frankly, if that wasn't the case, I would not be interested at all in promoting these and selling these. I wouldn't have one myself. I'd make sure that none of my family had one, because you just can't presume on the future from a secular standpoint or a Christian standpoint. It just wouldn't be smart. But the fact that we know that there is an absolute guarantee that my wife will not get kicked out of the house and my children will not be faced with a bill enables me to be very confident that this should be part of my personal financial plan, as well as many of my friends and relatives and folks in our church.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. I think one of the other misconceptions, Harlan, perhaps, is that I can't pay this mortgage down if I want to or I have the ability to. But even with a reverse mortgage, you could pay off or pay down the mortgage, correct?
Well, you know, I used to say, Rob, that you'll have no payment for the rest of your life. Now I just say payments are optional for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You can always make payments and increase your equity if you wish, just like if you borrow from a savings account, so to speak, and then you have extra money to put it back into your savings account. You can do exactly the same thing with a reverse mortgage. I can make payments whenever I want. I get a monthly statement, and I can make a decision to I'm going to pay money in for tax purposes or just because I want to increase my my equity, or I'm kind of short this month. I don't want to pay anything in, or I want to use it for something else for God's kingdom or my family that is more important than creating more equity in my house. I always have that option. People that have forward mortgages in retirement don't have that option. They must make the payment every month. That optional payment feature is something that more people should be aware of, because it is something that guarantees that you're in control, not the lender.
Yeah, very good. Harlan, I think the other one, and we'll finish here today, is, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, it used to be that only about a third of retirees heading into this season had mortgages. Now it's about half, and you can pay off an existing mortgage with a reverse mortgage and thereby eliminate that payment that you currently have today, right?
You know, Rob, I ask everybody, what is the purpose of making a mortgage payment when you don't have to? And where else could that money go? And especially from a Christian standpoint in stewardship, where could that money go? Do I just want to create more equity that I leave more when I'm 90 and the kids are 60? Or are there things that I can do right now with that cash flow to make difference not only in our family's life, but in the kingdom?
That's Harlan Akolo with Movement Mortgage. He's been talking reverse mortgages today. Harlan, thanks for stopping by. Folks, we'll be right back with your questions right after this break. Stay with us. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It was a joy to have my friend Harlan Akala. If you'd like to learn more, just go to faithfi.com/movement, or better yet, flip it around, movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage is an underwriter of this program, and Harlan joins us periodically to weigh in on this specific topic of reverse mortgages. But let's turn the corner, and we want to deal with whatever's on your mind today financially. We've got some folks that have been waiting patiently. By the way, if you have a question on any financial topic today, we have, looks like, two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Mississippi. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm getting ready right now to go meet with my financial advisor I'm not happy with, and I'm going to check into some that you've recommended before calling them. But my question is, now I'm 71, and I only have, I like to shop, I'll admit, I have only have $265 left in my Wells Fargo thousand, and so how should I allocate it when I go see him this morning? What percent in stocks, bonds, gold, whatever, ETFs, UITs, I don't know what all that means.
Yeah, a lot of acronyms there, Ann. Well, first of all, I'm delighted you're going to see your advisor, and you know, I think whether you get on the same page together and stay right there, or you choose another advisor, the big idea is just around what you're asking. How do I best steward what God has entrusted to me so I can live whatever lifestyle I believe God has called me to, balance the budget, and you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, let's pray that this money needs to last a couple of decades or more, you know, from this point forward. And if you really kind of dial into your spending and get really careful, maybe look for a few places to cut back, what do you think you could get away with pulling out of this every month out of, you know, as terms of the minimum amount?
Well, let me tell you this. They include taxes, so I'm withdrawing now $2,222. That's a good, easy number to remember. But I only net $2,000 a month. That's what I'm getting out now, which is way too much, I think.
It is, yeah. I'd rather you be down at around $900 a month. That would be 4% a year. And, you know, that's about $10,600 over 12 months. And the idea there is that if we pull more than that, you're pulling, you know, 8% plus, closer to 9. You know, we're just in this season of life where we're trying to preserve your capital. We need to get more conservative. Challenge is, with a conservative portfolio, typically, you know, with folks living longer, we're keeping a higher allocation to stocks just to try to offset the effects of inflation and longevity. And so even at age 70, often we'll see what's called a 60-40 portfolio, where you've got 60% fixed income, 40% stocks. If you're going to shave maybe maybe 5 to 10% of that off for gold, then you'd probably pull that from maybe 5% from each. So 55, 35, 10, something like that. And the goal would be that that stock portion would create the growth engine. And then the fixed income portion would be more stable and provide a lot of income. Now, the challenge in the last couple of years with these rising interest rates has been that the bond portion, which is normally the most stable, has been under pressure. And so that's probably been part of the culprit of bringing your portfolio down. I have no idea how it's allocated. And then, you know, that's the big allocation. Now, the investments that are utilized to drive that, let's call it 60-40 or 50-30-10 portfolio, you know, is really going to be dependent upon the advisor. It may involve mutual funds. It may involve stocks and bonds. It may involve ETFs. You know, you mentioned an insurance product as well. And I, you know, that could be an option, but you're going to give up access to the money other than a monthly income stream, you know, and you're going to limit your upside potential. So I think to answer your question, you're probably wanting to think about somewhere around 50% fixed income, 30% stocks, and up to 10% precious metals, I would say, typically for somebody who's around 70 years old. But it's got to use that as a starting point, and then you make changes based on your real needs. And I think the big idea right now is we want to try to limit what you're pulling out every month as best we can, trying to get as close as possible to that $900 a month target so that you can allow this money to last for as long as possible and we don't deplete it. I realize that's easier said than done. And a lot of times that's where our previous conversation comes in, where folks have a retirement asset like you have with this $265,000, and then they have home equity that they're sitting on because they paid off their house, and that's great. And that's where some folks will use a reverse mortgage to systematically pull that out, boost cash flow on a monthly basis, and not have a mortgage payment. And, you know, that can be another planning tool. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I jotted that down as you were talking, reverse mortgage. My house has been paid for years, and it's probably valued at, I'm just going to say $225,000, but it's probably more than that. But anyway,
yeah.
So I might consider that. I've already written down movement.com/faith.
Yeah.
And so, but let me tell you this right quick. The way it's allocated right now, I have that in front of me. It says, okay, cash and sweep balances, 3%. I'm just rounding this off.
Sure.
Stocks, options, and ETFs is, I don't know, 18 or almost 19%. That doesn't sound right. Fixed income is 0. Mutual funds is 54 or 55%. And UITs is 23%.
Okay. Yeah.
So that should total up to close to 100%.
Yeah, and that makes sense. The question, though, is what types of ETFs are in there? Because there can be bond ETFs or stock ETFs or both. What type of mutual funds? So 55% of that portfolio is mutual funds. Those could be stock funds, they could be bond funds, or they could be what are called balanced funds, where it has both. So that really doesn't give us enough information. I think the question for you is, as you go see the advisor, is to say, listen, what have you been working with, and what is it today? And he's going to tell you how much you've pulled out, and then he'll tell you what's been the performance of what he's had left to work with. And you can compare that to a similar portfolio or to a market index and just kind of get an idea of how your portfolio has performed. But then secondly, is the bigger question is, where are we going? And what's the ideal target allocation for somebody who's 70 years old, who's living off this, pulling a little more than you should, and trying to preserve it? And I think that's where you and he need to come to some decision on that. And I'm saying, forget ETF, mutual fund, stock, UITs, we need to think about the big allocation. And I'm thinking probably somewhere between 50 and 60% in fixed income, somewhere between 30 and 40% in stocks, and somewhere between 5 and 10% in gold would be my recommendation.
Okay. And when you say fixed income, that's not going to make very much money, is it?
Well, it's making a decent amount today. I mean, you can get a 10-year treasury, a 10-year U.S. government bond for 4.6%. And, you know, if you hold to maturity, you'll get your money back. You'll get 4.6% a year. And that's with a government bond. So the government's guaranteeing it. The nice thing about the bonds is as these interest rates come down, not only do you get that yield, but the prices of the bonds will increase because they work inversely to interest rates. And even though it may not happen in the next 3 or 4 months, sometime in the next year, rates are going to start coming down. They're going to have to. And when they do, these bonds will do well. Whereas they've been under pressure as the rates were rising, they'll perform much better as the rates fall. So hopefully that gives you some things to talk about as you visit with your advisor today. Anna in Oklahoma, you've been waiting so patiently. Thank you for doing that. We'll get to your call. Patricia and Roy coming your way as well. And may the Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. Folks, this is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Today's issues.
President Trump has never been convicted of insurrection.
No.
But that is the word that was tossed around immediately following January 6th by all the Democrats.
Yes.
And all of the people, the talking heads. I think they were priming the pump to create out of thin air the connection to the 14th Amendment.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
When you hear the phrase rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, in the month of June, which we are now in, hard to believe this year is flying by. This is an important month for us here at FaithFi. It's the end of our fiscal year, June the 30th. So if you count on this program, maybe you listen regularly or you've been able to apply something you've heard and you'd like to support our work between now and June the 30th, that would be an enormous blessing to us as we try to finish out the year strong with listener support. You can do that by going to faithfi.com and clicking give. That's faithfi.com and click give. A gift of any amount would be a real blessing before June the 30th. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Anna, you've been waiting so patiently there in Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening to your program. I'm an AFR listener, and so I was aware of your program. I probably wouldn't have listened today had it not been for a call from my sister, but I just want to say that I appreciate the words about stewardship, and I'm kind of nudged to be more responsible in that direction. I sure do thank you for that word.
Well,
but the
you.
Reason that I'm calling is because my sister has 2 credit cards. One of them she has not been using at all. And so she got a call this morning from that company, and they said something about, we see you're making a charge against your card here, and I have a question. Are you traveling? And she said, no, I'm not. And so she's in Oklahoma, and this charge was from Texas. And so something, you know, perhaps that account was compromised. But my question is, following that comment from this first caller, he said, "Ma'am, I see that you have a lot of credit card debt on another card. Could we suggest, well, I don't know if he said that. Anyway, he said, I think that there's, you know, a company, somebody that could help you reduce this debt. And so he, could I transfer you? So he transferred her to someone else, and they transferred her to someone else. This person talked to her about that credit card debt and suggested a company. Is it okay if I say the name of this company?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
It's Freedom Financial Network. Mm-hmm. And he suggested that she call them to get help in, you know, reducing this big credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And so we've looked on the internet. It appears to be a legitimate company. But, you know, we're just apprehensive because of the strange yes. way that we came to hearing about that company.
Yes. Well, that's helpful background, Anna. And there's a lot that what you just shared there that I like, and I'd love to give you some counsel. First of all, delighted that you're walking alongside your sister in this to help her get out of debt. I think that's a great idea. In terms of where to go from here, I mean, number one, do credit card companies call, you know, to verify transactions? Absolutely. But just be on your guard there. Anytime you're getting a call from somebody, you know, you want to typically initiate that. And hopefully, you know, they're going to contact her other ways. You just need to be careful when somebody is representing someone, even if the caller ID says that it matches, you know, a business you do business with. You need to be careful, especially if they're asking you to provide any information other than just verifying a transaction. You don't ever want to give an account number or a social security number or anything like that. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, in terms of this particular company, is it legitimate? Yes. But they do different types of debt relief, including debt settlement and debt consolidation, which I don't like. And even though they are legitimate, I have no experience with them, so I couldn't recommend them one way or the other. But what I would say is that my preferred approach to her getting out from under credit card debt is something called debt management, which is different than debt settlement, where you stop paying, get into arrears, and try to negotiate a payoff. I don't like that. And it's different than debt consolidation, where you take out a new loan, pay off the existing loans, hopefully with a lower interest rate, because normally that doesn't solve the problem of typically lifestyle spending beyond your means. And it takes the pressure off with the lower monthly or the lower interest rate, and it often leads to a longer payback period. So what do I recommend? Well, I recommend something called debt management, which is where the accounts stay right where they're at. The accounts are closed, and you choose which accounts go into the program. When you do that through debt management, the interest rates are dropped, usually a half or more from what they're currently at. And then you make one level monthly payment, and the combination of those lower interest rates and a level monthly payment allows you to pay it off 80% faster. Now, where would I go to do that? Our friends at Christian Credit Counselors have worked with thousands of our listeners. They're a nonprofit. They're all believers. They're trusted. And I would be really comfortable with her contacting ChristianCreditCounselors.org, walking through her plan and getting set up on a debt management plan. That would be the direction I would go versus, you know, what the Financial Freedom Network might offer. Is that helpful?
He offered her level payments for 24 months. Right. And then they said the card would be closed and she could not use it again. But they would...
Yeah. And that may be debt management. That may be the same thing. It may also be debt settlement where she's going to pay them. They're going to stop paying the cards, let it get past due. They're going to build up a kind of a war chest and then try to come in the background and negotiate a lower payoff. Problem is that's going to trash your credit if that's the approach. And so that's where I would rather her go with somebody that we, you know well, and I know are believers, and I know have worked with, you know, lots of our listeners, and that would be ChristianCreditCounselors.org. But I think the idea that she would pay it off and really focused on getting on a plan that would help her do that makes a lot of sense, Anna. So I'm delighted at the direction you all are headed. I probably would just use the debt management approach as opposed to anything else.
Okay, and debt management would be a level amount each month for a designated number of months because they are going to lower the interest.
That's right. And normally with a credit card minimum payment, the payment minimum payment declines as the balance declines. But the idea here is that you have a level payment. So every month as that balance comes down, especially with those lower interest rates, you're sending a higher percentage of the balance every month. And the combination of that level payment plus the reduction in interest rates with those closed accounts results in a payback period on average 80% faster.
Okay. So she should contact ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
Yes, ma'am. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you for your help.
I'm delighted to do it. May the Lord bless you and call anytime. We're glad you listened today. Let's head out to Virginia. Hi, Roy. You've been very patient, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have a son that's considering bankruptcy. He has more than just credit card debt, and I'm concerned what that will do with taking the bankruptcy, what that will do with his credit, and how long would it take him to recover. He's hoping to be able to buy a house in the near future.
Yeah. Well, Roy, I would say he wants to avoid bankruptcy if at all possible. If he does go through bankruptcy, the impact on his credit, to your question, depends on the form of bankruptcy. If it's a Chapter 7, it's going to stay on his credit report for 10 years because the debt is completely wiped out. If it's a Chapter 13, it's going to stay on for 7 years because he's going to agree to make at least partial payment on the debt. Now, either way, the credit score is going to begin to improve after a few years. It won't be back to where it was until the bankruptcy disappears from the reports at 7 or 10 years, but it certainly improves along the way if all other payments are made on time, because the way the credit scoring algorithm works is the most recent information is the most significant in terms of how it factors into your credit score. Now, I would say just kind of from a biblical worldview, you know, the Bible is clear, the wicked borrows and does not repay. Now, if he's forced into bankruptcy for legal protection, you won't find the word bankruptcy in the Bible. But I think the idea is that, you know, as he has the ability, he should make a plan to repay, whether that's through a 13, where it's through the courts, or on his own. But to your question, you know, there is a way out of this in terms of repairing the credit over time. It's not going to happen quick, but it will happen, and it'll start a few years following the bankruptcy.
So how would he be able to do it in another way?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know his situation, but I think, you know, really dialing back his lifestyle as best he can, contacting each of his creditors, trying to work out a payment plan, you know, I mean, leaning into this in a way that does everything possible apart from being forced into bankruptcy, which may happen if they're seeking judgments and he just doesn't have the ability to pay. So I would just say, again, without knowing the situation, the next step would be to contact each of those creditors and try to, you know, get on a plan that, you know, keeps it out of bankruptcy, because nobody wants bankruptcy. He doesn't. They don't. And so if it's at all possible to work something out outside of the courts, that would be ideal. It may not be. And even then, he could still work on repaying it through either a Chapter 13 or just negotiating directly with them following the bankruptcy. And they may say, we can't take it. The debts have been discharged, but he can make every effort to make restitution. So hopefully that helps, Roy. We appreciate your call today. Patricia and Hector, I apologize we didn't get to your calls. We'd love to get you on tomorrow's broadcast. If you want to hold right there, Autumn, we'll see if we can get you scheduled to be first up on the Wednesday edition of the program. Thank you for your call today. Hang on the line. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. We covered a lot of ground today. Let me finish with this. You know, when we think about a biblical worldview of money management, it starts with lordship. God owns it all.
and then stewardship. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. I think right behind that is generosity. Giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. I hope you think about that today as you think about your role as a steward. A big thanks to my team today. Couldn't do it without them. Autumn on phones, Devin, my producer, Jim on research, and everybody here at FaithFi. If you want to support our work, go to faithfi.com and click give. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.